God bless each one here this morning, and I do welcome each of you to this part of the service as well, and I'm glad for the visitors are here with us, and hope that you feel at home here with us. I have a little problem this morning. I'm having a hard time feeling Brother Jay's shoes this morning. So you can see in the bulletin, Brother Jay was on to preach, but of course, you know the circumstances they are in of Grandpa Groff passing away, and they had to go to Pennsylvania. So here we are this morning, and I hope that you can be encouraged by this message. There's many things I could highlight about the Sunday school class or the devotions, both devotions. I just love the passage Brother Doug read to us, that Jesus came to be a minister, to give his life as a ransom for many. And that includes us. This morning, I would like to speak of characteristics of heroes. Characteristics of heroes or features of heroes. Whenever you buy a piece of equipment or any kind of vehicle, you always want to know what the features are. What are the characteristics of this vehicle? What are the characteristics of this piece of equipment? What is it going to do for me? How is it going to perform? And the vendor, they do a very good job at trying to explain to you what all the features are and what they're trying to sell you. Well, in the Bible, we do have a list of heroes of faith found in Hebrews chapter 11. And as we turn there, that's what I would like to point out, a few characteristics of the real heroes. These are the heroes of faith that we find in the Bible. There's many, many others, like the author of the book of Hebrews said, in verse 32, and what should I more say? For the time will fail me to tell of some more of the other ones. This message, I wasn't planning to preach about this on my next message. I think I knew what I needed to preach for the next sermon, but I didn't have the time that I needed for that sermon. So we have to wait for that. And probably I won't tell you in case I don't get there. But this message was in what inspired me to preach this message this morning is that I ordered a new book from Christian Life Publication. No, excuse me, from Christian Aid Ministries, TGS. It's called Stronger Than Fire. And Brother Mark Yoder, Phillips' brother, wrote this book. And I don't get a commission out of selling these books, but I really encourage you to buy it. Okay? I really encourage you to buy it. It's a very, very good book. And the book is about the Reformation, at the time of the Reformation in Europe, and what was taking place in Spain. And to me, it's fascinating because the story of this book, Stronger Than Fire, is really the story of how we got the version or the translation of the Bible into Spanish. And that's the version we still use today by most of the Spanish-speaking people. There's a lot of versions out there as well. Of course, we have a revised edition that we use, the most popular that we use in the Spanish is probably the 1960 version of this translation by a man called Casiodoro de Reina. And that's the story of Mark Yoder in that book. And it was hard for me to let the book down this weekend. It's cold outside, rainy. I need to study for the sermon, and I wanted to read this book. But in the process of reading, I'm not done with the book yet, but it just thrilled my heart to hear the stories of these people in Spain that were reading the Word of God, and they had the vision to translate the Word of God into the Spanish language so everybody could understand it. And if you like the William Tyndale story, you will love that story as well, Casiodoro de Reina. And the book has many stories of people that were really and truly heroes of faith in Spain or in Europe. And I don't have a literal list of heroes of faith that I have, but if I will have one, I will put Casiodoro will be added to it. And I have seven characteristics here from Hebrews 11 and chapter 12 that I would like to give to you as the characteristics of the heroes of faith. And the purpose for this message that we learn from these people. A hero is somebody that you highly esteem. They perform very well. And you would like to be like them. That's kind of what a hero is. I'm not trying to put them as God, but it's a servants of God. The testimony and the example that they gave is incredible. It's incredible. The first four characteristics I'm going to give you explain what they did. What they did. And the last three is more how they did it. What they did. Well, first of all, I'm going to read you a couple verses just to get us a little background here in Hebrews 11. I'm going to read the first three verses first, and then I'm going to jump to verse 32 to chapter 12, verse 4. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. There's the definition of faith. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's what he holds us, what is the essence of the things that we hope for, even though we haven't seen them. But we hold to the hope without seeing them, and what he holds together, that hope, is faith. Then jump to verse 32. And what should I more say? Well, I should say this. You probably know we're going to mention some of the verses here in between of all these heroes of faith and what they did and how they did it. And in verse 32, the author says, what should I more say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson, on this Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wander about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wander in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I'm just going to stop there. There's so many things that I would like to point out this morning about this passage, but I hope that the Spirit of God can help us minister to each one of us and wherever the need that we have. But the first characteristic, we're just going to jump right into here. The first one I have is, remember the first four explain what they did for God through faith. And the first one is, they had a purpose. First characteristic I see in these heroes of faith is that they had a purpose. They took it as the call from God. Think of Samson. Samson knew that it was a call from God to deliver the Israelites from the enemies. That was his calling in life. That was his purpose. And everything went well while he kept that purpose in mind. And everything went to pieces whenever he forgot his purpose in life. We think of David. David was very young when God called him for a purpose. And that purpose was to be the king of Israel. And you know what? He waited for years until that purpose was realized. He waited for years. But through all those years, he always had that purpose. He always had that calling from God. We think of Moses. Moses, the call from God was upon him. And I was reading that story, like I told you, Cassiodoro's life. And he was 18 years old, roughly 18 years old, whenever he left his home to go to the city of Sevilla to go study. He knew that there were some preachers out there in the Catholic Church that were preaching God's word. And the hunger from his soul and the soul of his parents made him to seek for the truth. And he was 18 years old whenever he went to this, let's say, school. The school where he went. And he said that he studied there for 3 years. He had learned to read. His dad had taught him how to read. And there, whenever he was in 3 years studying, he saw the truth of God's word and allowed that truth to convert him and to give him peace. And his teachers, they saw that this man was a very talented man and that his zeal for the God was very real in his life. Now, just keep in mind he was 18 years old. And they pull him to the side and explain to Cassiodoro that vision that they had and the need that they sense for someone to translate the Bible into the Spanish. So he went back to his parents and asked his parents if he should do this. It's actually before he went to the 3 years of school. His parents saw the need. They saw that somebody needed to do this. And if God wanted to use Cassiodoro, it was fine with him. So he went back and he stayed for 3 years studying just regular academic things at school. And in the meantime, studying the Bible as well. From there, he went to a university and studied for 7 years to become fluent in Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. For 7 years. And from there, he went to a monastery for 10 years. I don't know how much of you, we are familiar with monasteries, but that's where monks go. And they dedicate their lives to, what's the word, celibacy In other words, they don't get married. They just study God's word. They live in a group like a Bible school for 10 years. We can hardly get people to go to Bible school after the third year to go for 3 weeks. Because your daughter was there for 10 years. And in the meantime, he was practicing. He was practicing or translating the Bible to the rest of the monks. A revival broke out in the monastery. But what I'm trying to get to it is that he had a purpose. He felt the need that somebody needed to translate the Bible. And if God can use him, he was willing to do it. And God was preparing him for this task. That's not an easy task to translate a Bible. I don't know if you have ever thought about it. I've never thought of it to the extent that I have reading this book, or the blessing that I have to have the Spanish Bible with me. And what Casiodoro went through and what he endured to make this possible. And how God allowed him to use it. After those 10 years in the monastery, the Catholics were very suspicious. There was groups of people studying the Word of God in the Catholic Church. The Inquisition of the Catholic Church was very heavy upon them. And they started to capture some of them and torture some of them and killing some of them. So Casiodoro decided to flee. He walked his way. If you look on the map, he walked all the way, pretty much the entire country of Spain. And he crossed the Pyrenees Mountains to France and ended up in Switzerland, where John Calvin was in Geneva, Switzerland. It's a fascinating story. But there he started his translation. He ends up in London for a while as well. All those years, a purpose. God, people in Spain need the Bible. People in Spain need the Bible. And it's just amazing what he went through, the purpose. Just like the rest of these heroes that we have in the Bible. Their lives became a pursuit of doing what God wanted them to do. Okay, let's bring this home. Do we realize the call of God in our lives? Maybe God is not calling you to translate the Bible into Spanish because thank God we have it already. Maybe God is calling you to translate the Bible into another language. Did I say that right? Translate the Bible into another language. Maybe he's not calling you to do something that great. Maybe God is just calling you to be the father and mother that he wants you to be. Do you see as God's call in your life? And are you willing to dedicate your life for that purpose? That's what it was so amazing to me to see this. Are we sold out to do the work that God has for us to do? Casiodoro's parents, his father decided to sell the farm and flee to Switzerland to be with their son and use that amount of money that he carried. They were scared that somebody would steal this amount of money that he carried. But he used that money from the farm to finance this project. And until they ended up in London, they were just about out of money from selling the farm. Why? For the purpose of the kingdom of God. Did they struggle with apathy? Like Tim was talking about, this is the other extreme. This is people saw the need and they were willing to do it, whatever it took. The second characteristics of the heroes of faith is that they are willing to identify with the people of God. That's what they did. Remember, we're talking about what they did. The first one is they had a purpose. The second one is the willingness to identify with the people of God. In the passage here in Hebrews, in verse 24 through 27, it's amazing to me about Moses. Moses here, he says in chapter 11, verse 24, But by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. This was not a small thing that he had, to be called the son or the grandson of Pharaoh. This is no small thing. This is the most powerful nation at this time. But he says he refused, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the riches in Egypt, for he had respect unto recompense of that reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, but he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses decided he's going to identify with the people of God, regardless of the cost. He said he forsook the pleasures of sin. I don't agree. I think I told you this before, but I don't agree with people that say that sin is not fun. Because if it won't be a pleasure to commit sin, it won't be a temptation for us. But the result is a different story. The result of sin is always death. The wages of sin is death. But Moses saw this, and he was willing to identify with the people of God. And I believe that that was part of the faith that Rahab had there in Jericho. The faith that she had was, okay, I'm willing to identify with the people of God. There's a fear that has come upon us that these people are going to take over Canaan. I guarantee you most of the people in Jericho, they were fearful. But yet there was some kind of pride in their lives that these massive walls of Jericho is going to keep us safe. They said, there's no way that they can get in here. I don't know what they're going to do, but they keep marching around our city. But I guess they're going to get tired and they're going to go home. I don't know what they thought, but Rahab was willing and said, listen, we're done. These people of God is where I need to be. And I need to do whatever it takes to go there. We think about the prophets. Even when their messages were not popular, you read the prophets and how they were rejected for their prophecies. The kings told some of them, you get out of here. I don't want to see you again. If I see you again, we're going to kill you. But they were willing to identify with the people of God. Number three, what is another characteristic of a real hero of faith? Is that they're willing to take risk. They're willing to take risk. Think about Moses' parents. They knew the command of Pharaoh. They need to report every baby boy that is born. And they said, they're not going to do it. They said, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Whose faith was it? It wasn't the baby Moses' faith. It was his parents' faith that hid him. They were willing to take the risk. I believe that that was part of the inspiration that Moses had in the future, in his adult life. He remembered how the story was that his mama had told him, how mama and daddy had the faith and were willing to take the risk of being executed for not obeying the king, and said, we hid you. And I can only imagine that that always stayed with Moses whenever he came into adult life. He said, if my parents were willing to defy the king's commandment, I need to do something about this justice that it was taking place here. And like I told you, you need to read that book, Stronger Than Fire. It tells you all the risks that these people were willing to take for the gospel's sake. One that stands out to me in that story, I hope you read it, but it was about Juanillo. Juanillo was a little man. That's why they call him Juanillo. Juan is his name, and we have little suffix in Spanish that you can put at the end of any noun to make a small. but his nickname was Juanillo. And he worked in Geneva at the printing press. There were quite a few Spaniards that have fled Spain to Geneva because Geneva was Protestant now under John Calvin, even though the Protestants were doing the same thing that the Catholics were doing with their heretics. They were killing them. They were persecuting them. And that was one of the things that Cassiodoro decided to leave Geneva because he did not agree with John Calvin on that aspect. But anyway, Juanillo was there at the printing press, and right before Cassiodoro started translating the Bible into Spanish, there was another fellow that has translated the New Testament into Spanish. I don't know why his translation didn't become popular as Cassiodoro's translation. But beside the point, there were in the printing press, that was Juanillo worked. And he helped print quite a few of these New Testament. Now, all the printing press was mechanical, manual labor. It was not computerized like we have it today. So a lot of work, but it was worth it. They could do it a lot faster than doing it by hand. Anyway, he had this idea that they were trying to figure out how they're going to get these New Testaments into Spain. And he said, I will do it. Juanillo decided they're going to make some boxes and they're going to put a false bottom on it. They're going to put the books on the bottom and they're going to put a false bottom on it. They're going to fill it up with cloth and all kind of fabrics that they were very popular in Switzerland. And he said, I'm going to carry them to Spain. Anyway, of course, everybody was worry about him, and rightfully so. But he said, I'm willing to take the risk because the people in Spain need the word of God. And to make the long story short, Juanillo was captured after he delivered the Bibles, and he was burned at the stake. But I'm just here to tell you that the heroes of faith take risk. We think about Rahab. She was willing to take the risk and hide the spies. I thought about Micaiah. You remember Micaiah, a prophet that was not very popular with Ahab? Jehoshaphat went to Ahab and they were going to go to war. And Jehoshaphat said, is there any prophet around here that we can inquire? Because there was 400 prophets that were prophesying to go. And say, you're going to defeat him. One even make some kind of horns, iron or brass or something. And say, with these horns, you're going to just demolish the enemies. And they sent a servant to Micaiah. And the messenger that was going to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them and speak that which is good and everything be okay. And you know what Micaiah says? He says, and Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. I will speak the truth. I don't care how many prophets are prophesying whatever they want to. I'm going to tell what the Lord tells me to say. And you know the rest of the story. The king commanded Micaiah to be put in the prison with bread and water of affliction until he came back in peace. Well, he never came back. But Micaiah was willing to take the risk. That's a true characteristic of a hero of faith. Number four. Another characteristic of the true heroes of faith is they count the cost and are willing to pay for it. They counted the cost and are willing to pay it. Brother Dwayne Whitmer told us a story at the minister's meeting about his son was in Bangladesh. He was talking to one of the converts there in Bangladesh that was, of course, there if you become a Christian, they single you out, face persecution. Probably a lot of them, even their families disowned them. And he was asking Dwayne's son a question. He said, how much does it cost, or what is the cost to be a Christian in the United States. Well, he didn't know what to tell them. I think he probably said something like, maybe not much. And Brother Duane made this point that it has stuck with me. And he said that maybe our cause to be a disciple of Christ is only what we are willing to discipline ourselves to. What are we willing to discipline ourselves to? And I just praise the Lord that we don't live in the 1500s. And that we don't have fear that Inquisition is going to come here and disrupt this meeting and take us all and burn us. I praise God for that. But don't you think it is a good practice for us to discipline ourselves to some things? And we say, we're not going to do this because the following Christ has to cost us something. I don't know if I'm conveying that concept right, but I hope you understand. They counted the cost and were willing to pay it. And that was basically the same point of the previous one. They were willing to take a risk. They were willing to identify with the children of God like Moses did. He knew the price he had to pay, and he was willing to pay it. And the prophets, they were true to God's word, and they were willing to pay it. Much suffering was done because they were willing to pay it. Okay, the last three. How in the world can they do something like this? How could these people in the middle, not in the Middle East, the Middle Ages, I guess we call it, they're in Spain. How could they do that? How could they go against the Catholic Church? How could they just read the Bible and just follow it regardless of the cost? How could they do it? Well, there's three characteristics that will help us understand. They did that what they could for the glory of God. That was the first thing that I thought of. They did what they could for the glory of God. Why did God tell Joshua to tell the Israelites that all the gold and silver from Jericho was to be dedicated unto God? Because God was the one giving this city unto them. If only Achan could have realized that he needed to give all the honor to God, he would have had a chance later to get a stick of gold. There was many a times, even in Ai, the people could keep the spoil. If Achan could have only realized that what they did, first of all, is to the glory and honor of God. We think of David with Goliath. I know it's a little confusing sometimes to see the story there, because David, the first thing he asked is what they're going to give to the man that goes and fight against this Philistine. He wanted to see what the rewards were. Maybe it just explains how human we are. But the beauty of it all is whenever he gets to him, he says, then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee unto my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." And God honored that request of the young man. He had a purpose. He had been anointed to be king already, and he knew he had been called by God for a special purpose. And he was willing to pay the price. And he was willing to do everything he could for the glory of God. He could not stand this uncircumcised Philistine to defy the living God. He had to do something for the honor and glory of God. And that's what these people did in Spain. They realized they needed to do something for the glory of God. Number six, how can they do this? They kept their eyes on the invisible. I want you to look at verse 27 or chapter 11. By faith, He forsook Egypt. He's talking about Moses, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That word invisible is spelled exactly the same in Spanish. But Cassiodoro de Reina, he capitalized that letter. I don't know if he did or the revisers did. I don't know who did. But in the Spanish Bible, we had invisible capitalized because he refers to God. Maybe in the English they didn't, just because it was just an adjective about him. I don't know. But here they kept an eye on the invisible. Remember what faith is? It's the essence. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. By faith they kept an eye on somebody they could not see, but they kept an eye on him. And we can read a couple other verses, like verse 13. These all die in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Therefore, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. And we can keep going. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. My point is simply that they follow something they could not see, but they kept their eyes on it. And that ties with the last one that I have. The last characteristics, and how can they be faithful to God in such tremendous circumstances, is that they saw the end and didn't focus on the means. The means simply means how a result is obtained or an end is achieved. See, the circumstances that we face here today, if we keep studying Hebrews 12, it goes into the chastening of the Lord. And circumstances, as hard as they can be, there is a chastening. God is using those circumstances to mold us and to make us more into his image. Okay? But that is not the end. That is the means that God is going to use to take us to the end. And that's what they did. Cassiodoro, whenever he was faced with all this persecution, with all these difficulties, he knew that the Spanish people needed a Spanish Bible. And he was convinced that if God was in this, he was going to help him finish this project. And it wasn't until 1569 that he finished that project at 49 years old. He was 18 whenever he realized that he's going to take up the call from God to translate the Bible. What is that, 31 years that it took him? Not all the years translating, but in preparation, in studying. And then at the end, he was able to translate the Bible. That's what Jesus said. The Hebrews reminds us of Jesus himself. In verse 2 of chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus knew that the cross was not the end. There was a joy beyond the cross. And the joy was that he was going to be able to reconcile humanity to the holy God. And that brought joy to his heart. And he knew that the only means to get there was the cross. And he was willing to endure the cross because he saw the joy that was set before him. I don't know what about you, but I am filled with energy, with enthusiasm maybe, with renewed commitment as I see this man, these examples. I know Casiodoro de Reina was an imperfect man. But God used him, and he was willing to do this. And I know the Bible was written way before his time. And maybe some of you never even heard his name. I never even heard his story until now. But it has fascinated me. Because there was an example of a man that lived out the same characteristics as the heroes of faith found in Hebrews. He had a purpose. He took it as a call from God and dedicated his entire life for that. He was willing to identify with the people of God regardless of the cost. He was willing to take risk. They counted the cost and were willing to pay it. And they did that what they could for the glory of God. They kept their eyes on the invisible, and they saw the end and not the means. May God help us. I don't know what we're going to face. I don't know what we're facing. Some of you might be facing some difficulties, probably that nobody knows. But I hope and pray that you can see that this is not the end. This is the means where God is going to use us to take us to his end. Can we keep our eyes on that invisible? Can we keep our seeking that country that, though we don't see it yet, but we're seeking a country that is better than this? May God add his blessing.